Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the final Daf in the great Masechta Masota. We're going to finish off Mem Tes today. There are those that learn Bedafka Sota during the Sfira period of time because it has 49 blot, actually 48, but they learn it during the Sfira period of time. And we're Zocha to also finish it during the Sfira period of time. So we begin on Mem Tes, on Aleph, 3-4 lines on the top with the words, Amar Rabbi Lo Bar Yevarechya. We're going to have several statements in his name, and the first one is as follows. Ilmalei Tfiloso Shel David, if it wasn't for the Tfilo of David HaMelech, Hayukol Yisrael, Mochrei Revov. All of Klai Yisrael would end up being impoverished. Rashi tells us Revov is Dover Mos, a disgusting thing, Kigon Chelev, Vishuman, you're dealing with fats that are staining clothing, the Nidbak Bibigodim, and they would get attached to the clothing, Umnim Asim, and make them disgusting. And the only people that would take care of this would be poor people. So if it wasn't for David Melch's Tfilo, all of Klai Yisrael would be impoverished. And this is based upon the Pasuk that we have in Tehillim, which tells us, Shenemar Shisa Hashem Mora Lohem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was begged by David HaMelech to give Klai Yisrael a parnasu. Another statement that this great Amora made, Vyama Rabbi Yiloh by Yerechya, he said, Ilmalei Tfiloso Shel Chabakuk, if it wasn't for the Tfilo that Chabakuk Hanavi had done for Klai Yisrael, Hayu Shnei Tamidei Chachamim, it would have been required, they would have been so impoverished that two Tamidei Chachamim would have to share one garment, Miskasin Betalas Achas V'Oskin B'Torah. They wouldn't have their own garments, they would have to go and share a garment somehow, they put on a cloak of some sort and cover themselves up because they were so impoverished. And that's based on the following pasuk from Habakkuk, where it says, Shenemar, Hashem, Shemati Shemacha. Hashem, I have heard of your strength. Your Reisi, Hashem, I am in awe of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pa'olcha bekerev shonim chayehu. Help us again in these years. Now, the word is bekerev shonim. So, al tikra, don't read it the way it is pronounced, bekerev shonim, but elu, it could be bekeruv shnayim. Two people would be close together to share a garment. So again, if it wasn't for Habakkuk's tefila, then there would be great poverty in Klal Yisrael. Another statement, V'yomar Rilo by Yerechya, so he said, Shnei Tamidei Chachamim Mahalach B'derech, if two Tamidei Chachamim are walking together on the road, and they don't discuss Torah between them, Re'uyin Lisarf Beish, they should be burned up by a fire. Chas V'shal, their lack of studying together, walking together, learning Torah, is a terrible avla, and therefore they would be deserved to be burned with a fire. Shenemar, and this is based upon when Elisha and Eliyahu HaNavi were departing for the last time, and Eliyahu was going up to Shemayim, so it says, Vahi Hema Holchim, that Eliyahu was being escorted by Elisha, Haloch V'daber, they were talking in Torah, V'hinei Rechav Eish V'gomer, and then Eliyahu went up to Shemayim in this fiery chariot. So therefore, if it wasn't for the fact that they were learning in Torah, they would have been burnt up, but they weren't burnt up by this fire. Now, Taima the Ikudibor, the reason the Gemara explains is because they were talking in Torah. If they weren't talking in Torah, they would have been burned up by this fire. Therefore, we see this idea that two Tamidei Chacham are walking, they're not learning Torah, Rachman al-Litzlan, they deserve to be burned by fire. Another statement that he made, Shnei Tamidei Chacham hador in Birachas, if two Tamidei Chacham are living together in the same town, and they don't sit and talk Torah with each other and learn together, and in other words, they discuss things, Torah in a very pleasant way. What will happen, Rachman Litzlan, if they don't do this? Echad Meisu, Echad Golan Nebuchu. Rachman Litzlan, one of them will die, and the other will be sent into exile, into Golos. Shenemar, and this is based upon the following pasuk, which describes what happens, Rachman Litzlan, if a person kills by accident. Shenemar, Lonus Shoma, they set up the Ari Miklot for the person who killed by accident to run to. Lonus Shoma Rotseach, the person who's Nebuch killed by accident, should be able to run there to be saved. Asher Yitzach Asriel Bivli Das. He killed his friend Bivli Das. So we darshan this, Rab Eloya Bar Yerechya darshan this to say that if they had no Das between them, if they weren't learning Torah together, Enochin Zel Bazeh, the Halacha, Bein Das El Torah. This Das refers to the Torah learning. Shenemar Nidnu Ami Bibli Hadas. So Klai Yisrael, the Pasuk in Hosea tells us that Klai Yisrael is considered they've forgotten the Torah. So therefore, if these two Tamidei Chachamim don't sit and learn together, so then they could lead to a terrible Rachman al-Islam tragedy. Gemara continues with a statement now from Amar Rabbi Yehuda Berei de Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Chiya, said, "Kol Talmud Chacham Osek B'Torah Mitoch Hatchach." If a Talmud Chacham nevertheless learns Torah despite being impoverished, Tfilah Su Nishmas, his Tfilah will have unbelievable power and will be heard in Shemayim. Shinemar, as the pasuk tells us, this is a pasuk from Yeshaya. The pasuk says, "Shinemar Ki Am Bitzion Yeshev." Yerushalayim, the people are living in Zion in Yerushalayim. Bachal lo sivket, they won't cry. Chanon yochnecha lekol zakecha kishom oso onach. Hashem will grant you everything that you ask for your tefillos. He will give you your answers. He will answer you. So the Gemara says, Uksiv basrei, it says right after this pasuk, it says, V'nosan luchem Hashem lechem tzar umayim lachatz. Hashem will give you a little bit of bread and a little bit of water. In other words, if you are a person who subsists on a little bit of bread and a little bit of water, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're learning Torah, Hashem will go and answer your tefillos. Rabbi Yavoh Omer, mas bein oso miziv shchina, he'll be also satisfied by being in the ziv shchina, the splendor and the glory of the shchina. Shenema, as the pasuk tells us, v'hayu einecha roos es morecha. This is a continuation of this pasuk from Hosea. It says, you will see your teacher, which is a reference to over here, you'll bask in the glory of the shchina. Rabbi Acher bar Chanina Omer, av ein hapargod nilo b'fonav. The pargo, which separates the Shechina from the rest of the Malachi Hashareis, so that will be opened up to you as well. Shenema, lo yikonev od morecha. This is a continuation of the pasuk. The whole pasuk read, v'nosan lechem Hashem lechem, tzor umayim lochatz, v'lo yikonev od morecha, v'yuenecha roos es morecha. Okay, so again, the pasuk is dashed a little bit out of order over here. We just read the whole pasuk. Well, quotes the Mishnah, which said, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, lo mer mishum Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, v'yom shchar beis hamikdash, ein v'chule. So the v'chule tells us that there isn't a single day that goes by without it being a curse. And as I mentioned, this Gemara, it continues to get worse every day. Amar Rava, b'chol yom v'yom, nebuch, every day from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it's worse than the day before. L'ruba kilaso mishol chavero. Every day from the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash to present time, every day is worse than the day before. Shenemar, based upon the pasuk, b'boker tomar mi yitein erev, uva erev tomar mi yitein boker. From the Tocha in Devarim. So it tells us that in the morning, a person will say, oi, it should only be evening. And in the evening, he said, oi, it should only be morning. Now, it's not talking about the future, as the Gemara tells us. It's not referring to the next morning in the evening when you say, oi, it should only be morning. It's not talking about tomorrow morning. And the morning, it's not talking about that night, because who knows how that will be. Rava explains, hey, boker, we're referring to in the evening, says, oi, it should only be morning. So, ilema boker dilemachar, if he's talking about tomorrow morning, who says that's going to be any better? Miyoda, my havi, he doesn't know what that's going to bring. That could even be worse. El of the Chalif. What it's telling us over here, Rav Darshan's, is we're going to Nebuch say in the evening, oi, it was already better this morning, it's going to be worse tomorrow morning. And in the morning, they say, oi, it was better last night, it's going to be worse tonight. So therefore, mi yoda mai have el of the Chalif. It's talking about the previous day. Oh, the Elo, what does it mean then? Alma amai komekayim. How is the world then supported? If everything is always getting worse, to what merit do we own that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the world going? So this is a very famous statement, Akidusha de Sidra, by Heshme Rabba de Agarita, that is what keeps the world going. When we say, Kadosh, 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 Baruch, Kavod, Hashem, Mimkomo, in the Uvol Tzion Tvila, so that's called Kidusha de Sidra, very, very important Tvila. And when we answer, Amen Heshme Rabba, after the learning of Agarita, so then that supports the world. Shenema, as the Pasuk tells us, Eretz Efasa, Kimo Ofel, Samavis Velosudorim. There's a pasuk from Eo, and it means as follows, that the world is a very bad, dark place, and the shadow of death is always there, because Velosudorim, because there's no order in the world. And therefore, when we put order into the world, such as the Kiddusha, the Sidra, Ha, Yesh Sidorim, Tofia Me Ofel. They're going to go and sustain the world and bring us out of this darkness. Then the Mishnah's quote, it says, V'lo yarat tal livracha. Nowadays, Nebuch, there is no longer tal that comes to bring bracha. And as well, v'nital tam peros v'chule. And the extra special taste and flavor of the fruits was taken away with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Shimon Elazar said that when there no longer is tahara, so then there's not going to be the same taste and the same smell of all the fruits. Now, Gemara Darshan is the following brisa. Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Rav Shimon Elazar tells us, Tahara bitlo tam voreach, the stopping of being careful with Tahara. As Rashi says, Shepasko misro, when we stop being so zealous about Tumah and Tahara, so then Nebuch bitlo tam voreach, then the tam, the taste, and the reach, and the smell of the fruits is lost. It doesn't have the same taste and same value as it did before the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. Maaseh, when people stop giving trumas and maaseros, so then, as well, bitel shuman dogon, the extra special nutritional value, so to say, the extra special taste of the dogon, also stopped. As Rashi says, ba'avon pizuk maaseros, when we stop taking off trumas and maaseros, so then, pasak shuman ha-dogon, the extra great value of the dogon. Dogon, Rashi says, is referred to as chelev in the pasuk called chelev yitzar v'sirosh, so therefore it was taken away as well. One time Rav Huna found a very, very, very tasty date. Shakla karcha b'sudre, he put it into his kerchief, and he put it in his pocket to eat it later on. Also, Rabba Berei, along comes his son Rabba, Rav Huna's son Rabba, and Amalei says to his father, I smell morchina recha dechinusa. I smell this delicious date. In other words, he was able to smell it through the kerchief that he had in his pocket. He was able to smell this date. As Rashi says, it was very shmeina, it was very, very tasty, very, very delicious. The yesh bar reach tov. It was a special type of date, and he was able to smell it from inside the pocket, inside the kerchief of his father, Rav Huna. So, Amalei, Rav Huna said to him, oh, Bini, I can tell, Tahara Yesh B'chor, you're able to smell this. Most people cannot. You're able to go and smell this over here. You must be very tar. And therefore, I'm going to give you the date. Yava Nyele. And he gives his son, Rabba, the date to eat. Adahachi, meanwhile, as Rabba, Mustam, is about to eat the date, also Abba Berei, his son Abba, the grandson of Rav Huna, comes along, and Rabba gives his son Abba, the grandson of Rav Huna, the date. Adachi, Osi Abba Berei, and Shaklo Yova Nile. And Rabba gives the date to his son Abba. Now, Rav Huna is very happy, but also a little bit sad. Amalei, Bini, my son, he tells his son Rabba, Simachto Esli Bi, you made me very, very happy because you were able to smell the date. However, Vikeso Eshidai, but you also gave me a little zest at the same time, as Rashi says, Sherisani Shavoscha Albincha Yoser Meolai. Shinotalti me many, Nasatilo. You made me a little bit sad because instead of giving me back the date, if you're not going to eat it, so give it back to me. Instead, you gave it to your son. So Gemara says, this is the very popular phrase that people say, Rachme the Abba, the mercy, the love that a father has, Abinei, for his son, is not reflected as back as much onto the father as it is to his own son. So Rachme the Abba Abinei, the love that a father has for his son, is not returned, but Rachme the Bnei Abinei, the Habule, but the son gives more love to his son. In other words, the parent always gives more love to the son than the son gives to the parent. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, similarly, Rav Acha bar Yaakov itapel bay the Rav Yaakov bar Barte. Rav Acha bar Yaakov raised, itapel bay means he raised his grandson. The Rav Yaakov, this Rav Yaakov, his grandson, who was the son of his daughter, bar Barte. As Rashi says, gidlo beveso. We don't know what happened to his daughter or his son-in-law, but in any way, he raised his grandson. Kigadah, when this grandson, Rav Yaakov, grew up, Amalei, so Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he named his grandson was named after Rav Acha's father, so when this grandson, Yaakov, grew up, so Rav Acha, the grandfather, asked him, do me a favor, please, Amalei, Ashkayin Maya, bring me a glass of water. And what did the grandson say? It's a little bit surprising. So Mustama, the grandson, was very busy, and he told his grandfather, Malo, Lav Berich Ana, I am not your son. In other words, I'm not obligated to go and do this for you. Behind the Amri Inche, and this is what people say, Revei, Revei, Barbara Toch Ana. The person will say, Godol, Godol, Osi, you raised me. Nevertheless, Yafo Pikain, Eini Bincha, I am not your son. And Rashi says over here, the Ein Olai L'chadcha Ki Bein. And in the Shor Mitzrayon Ba'alacha, he brings down a diuk from this Rashi, and he says that the grandson doesn't have the obligation to honor the father like a son, Kit Bain. However, he does say that there is an obligation for a grandson to honor the grandfather, but it's not the same obligation that a son has to honor a parent. So again, a sad story to a certain extent that this grandson didn't feel the obligation or whatever the reason was. I'm sure it was a very good reason why he couldn't give his grandfather the drink of water. But he told him, I'm sorry, I don't have that same obligation to give you kavod as your son would have to give you. I have to give you kavod as a grandfather, but not the same kavod as a son has to give to the father. Okay, next Mishnah. The pulmus shel aspasianus. Now, a pulmus, Rashi tells us, is a chayil shehevi aspasianus ha-yushalayim. This was in the battles of Aspasianus. Aspasianus is Vespasian. He was Nebuch, the Caesar, ultimately became the Caesar. He was originally a general that put siege around Yerushalayim. And in his time, so Gozru al Atoros Chasanim, they said that the Chasanim no longer could go wear these crowns, these wreaths that they would wear at the Chasana. So the rabbi said, it's inappropriate for us to wear, put on a chasen, these wreaths, when we're struggling in this battle against Aspasianus. Likewise, the rabbis were gozev al ha'irus. We'll see that this is a certain type of musical instrument. The Gemara will discuss exactly what type of instrument it is. And they were gozev that you can't play this as well. At a later point in time, bepulmus shel Titus, in the battle with Titus. Some have the gears over here, Kitus, because the chronology that Rashi explains doesn't fit in well with Titus. In any event, during another battle, so a later point in time, Gozru alatoros kalos. They didn't even allow the kalos to wear certain types of atoros, certain types of crowns, certain types of wreaths. Fish likewise, v'shalol yelamet odem es beno yevonis. And they decreed that a person shouldn't teach his child yevonis Greek, which the Gemara will explain. This was a certain type of code language that some of the royalty, some of the smart people amongst the Greeks would use this type of a language in order to transfer information in a very secretive sort of way. We'll explain this. And then finally, in a later point in time, what's called the Palmos Achron, Rashi says, this Nebuch who shall Hurban Habayis, the shall Titus Nami Haba, this was Titus. Here, Rashi says, this was the battle of Titus. So again, some have the gears before that this wasn't previously Bepulmus shel Titus, it was Kitus, a different leader. So in any event, during this Pulmus HaAchron, so the rabbis would go there, Gozru shel Otetzi HaKala Bapirion B'Sochir, the Kala could no longer go forth in a certain type of a carriage, a canopy that they would have, that the Kala would go in. However, the rabbis say, Nuitiru, subsequently after that, the rabbis were permitting Shetetzi HaKala Bapirion B'Sochir, they did allow her to go inside the city in such a canopy. And it's more explained for tznius reasons. Mishnah continues and tells us when certain great Tanoim passed away, so then with them, so to say, stopped a certain aspect, a certain character trait to be around in the world to the extent that it was when that Tana had it. So the Gemara tells us, Mishmesh Rameh, the great Tana Rameh and Nebuch, when he passed away, Botlu Moshle Mishalom. Rameh was a particularly bright and brilliant Tana. All the Tanoim were brilliant and bright, but he was known especially for being bright. And Rashi tells us he was the classical example of a person who could give mashalim, who could give analogies so people would understand what the din and what the Torah was telling us. As Rashi tells us, in Dibur Masl Moshli Mashalos, he was very, very capable. Law says, Os Amasla, the Tam Lechoch, we could very well explain things. Likonisba Bishori Bina, the people would be able to understand it. Kagon, Memsholos Shualim. He gave lots of examples of foxes. He gave lots of parables about foxes. As the one Sanhedrin tells us, Rashi says, Ki Avidorish Rameya Bepirka, when he was giving the shear, Havidorish Tilso Shmaisa. He would give 1/3 of it was Halacha, Tilso Agarata, 1/3 of it was Agarata, and Tilso Masle. And 1/3 of it was various Mishalim, various analogies, various stories of parables about the Halacha, so people would be able to understand it. So Nebuch, when he died, this power, this property, was no longer present to that great extent. Likewise, Mishabez Ben Azai was a great Talmud Chacham. He was the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva, Batlu HaShakdonim. He was so immersed in learning, as Rashi says, Shokdin Al-Dalsos Beis HaMedrash. He was always in the Beis Medrash, Laila V'yom, day and night. So, as the Gemara Yevamos tells us, he was married to Rabbi Akiva's daughter, and he wasn't able to stay with her. He divorced her, or he just didn't stay with her, because he said, what can I do? People said to him, you're telling everybody to go get married, and you don't get married. And he answered them, and he said, Avol Ma'aseh Shenavshi Chosh V'Torah. You're right, everybody else should get married, but I can't, because to me, I just have to be in the Beis Medrash day and night. And therefore, when Ben Azai passed away, so this level of Hasmada was gone from the world. Mishameis ben Zalman, another great Tana, Batlu Hadarshanim. He was the great Darshan. He was the great explainer. And therefore, Nebuchadnezzar, when he passed away, that property somewhat left Klai Yisrael. As Rashi says, in Dibur Maskal Darshanim, Shoya Baki B'tameh Mikros. He knew the understanding of the Pesukim very, very well. As we learn, we say over Pesach night, Lo Zochishi Tiyomi, it says, Mitzvay B'leilos, Asha Darshan ben Zoma. The Mishnah continues and says, Nebuch Mishameis, Rabbi Akiva, the great holy Tana, Rabbi Akiva, Botal, Kovod HaTorah. Kovod HaTorah was gone. Rashi tells us, Shoya no sein libo lidrosh kol kotz v'kotz shol kol os, that he darshed every single little curlicue, every little kotz on top of the letters in the Torah, he darshed them. The kol shekein tevos yiseros, and certainly he darshed all the extra words, the osios, the extra letters, or the yiseros, when a letter was missing. For example, he could go in bas, ubas, he would darshen, anidoresh, so he would say the extra vav, what it would mean, v'zeo kavod Torah. This gave tremendous cover to the Torah, that every single letter, every single missing letter, every single extra letter was tremendously important. She'ein bo dover levatol. There's not a single extra or unnecessary or missing word in the Torah. In fact, there's a famous Medrash that says that Rav Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to get the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him that in future generations there would be Rabbi Akiva, would be dashed in kol kotz u'kotz. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, what are you giving me the Torah for if there's going to be a Yid like Rabbi Akiva? And in fact, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't even understand everything that Rabbi Akiva said until finally he saw that Rabbi Akiva had said, this is halach we don't understand, this is halach la Moshe Misinai. That somewhat appeased Moshe Rabbeinu, that he said, I'm not forgotten. Mishnah continues, says, Mishameis Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, when the great Baal Mofes Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa died, Batlu Anshemaisa, people of his stature, no longer existed. As Rashi says, Batuach b'chashivuso v'yosa maisim mufloy. He did many, many nisim. Rashi just lists a couple of them. He says, Namti kishurech. He told a certain woman whose house had been not built properly that the beam should stretch out your house and build properly. Yom alachomets v'yidlok, his daughter, once by accident, instead of lighting the oil, she lit vinegar. He said, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that makes oil light will make the vinegar light. V'le'izim lohavi ze'evim b'karneihem. He was accused by his neighbors that his goats were eating and destroying their fields. He said, if that's true, so let my goats be eaten by wolves. If not, let my goats come home with wolves in their horns. And that's what happened. Every one of his goats came home with a wolf in their horn. So he was a Baal Mofes. It's an unbelievable miracle. Many, many other miracles are listed over there that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa did. Nebuch, when he passed away, such nisim left the world. Mishameis Rabbi Yossi Kotonta, when Rabbi Yossi, who was the small one, that usually is a tremendous adjective of godless, the opposite. We said Shmuel HaKotan. So Rav Yossi Kotnosa, when Rav Yossi was known as the small one, he died Pasku Chasidim. So there no longer were Chasidim in the world. As Rashi says, Shriwa Chasidim Holchim V'Kolim. When after his death, the Chasidim no longer existed. He was amongst the smaller ones of them, but others suggest that the Lama Nikwa Shmo Kotonta, what was it called? The Katonta, Shaya Katonta Shel Chasidim, he was the least of these great Chasidim. Others say, no, that this is a term that's used to explain how great he was. In any event, he certainly was amongst the Chasidim, and Nebuch, when he passed, there no longer were such people that were so pious. Mishameis Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, when the great Yochanan Zakkai passed away, Botal Ziv HaChochma. So there no longer was this tremendous Ziv HaChochma. And we have one of the classical Rashi's over here, where Rashi says, Ze lo yodana maihi. There are 25, 26 places in all of Shas where Rashi says, I don't know what this means. Now, if you or I had written this, we probably would have said, okay, so just leave out this Dibur HaMaskil. Don't say anything. If you don't know, don't say anything. But Rashi wanted everybody to know. He doesn't understand what it means, Ziv HaChochma. So therefore, Rashi was never, ever afraid to say, I don't know. I was always taught by Rebbeim, this is like the greatest Rashi. The godless of Rashi, he's willing to say, I don't know something, instead of making up an answer or ignoring it. The Ben Yod explains that it meant that his face was radiant, his face shined. That's what it meant, Ziv HaChokmah, just like we have Ziv HaShchina, so there's the Ziv HaChokmah, his face shone. Others explained that there was tremendous cover given to him because he was the great Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and that cover that people have for Talmidei Chachamim left. That's called Ziv HaChokmah. Nebuch, Mishameis, Rabbi Gamliel Azokim, when the elder Rabbi Gamliel died, there were many different Rabbi Gamliels in the Gemara. When the Rabbi Gamliel, who was known as Azokim, died, Botel Kovod HaTorah, Umeisa Tahara Oprishus. He was so great that Kovod HaTorah left during his time. Rashi explains that the Kovod HaTorah over here refers to that they would be standing and learning until his death. Afterwards, the Choli came to the world, and people now had to sit down and learn. They couldn't stand all the time and learn. They were learning 10 hours a day. They used to stand. Now they had to sit down. And furthermore, this Tara Oprishus that he had. He was such a holy person, and he was such a separate person. He separated himself from all evil things, so that high level of Tara and Precious no longer existed. Mishemes Rabbi Yishmael ben Pabi, he was a Kohen Gadol, bought lo Ziv HaKuhuna. Rashi explains that Ziv HaKuhuna refers to Shayachachon the Asher, but Kohanim Rabbim Ochlin al Shulchano, that he was such a big Talmud Chacham, and he was so kind with his money that he supported all the other Kohanim, so this Ziv HaKuhuna Nebuch stopped upon his death. Finally, the last of the Tanoim that we're going to describe, Mishemes Rebbe, when the great Yehuda Anasi, the redactor of the Mishnayos, died, Batel Anova v'Yiras Chait. There no longer was humbleness in the world, and there no longer was Yiras Shemayim, Yiras Chait, like there was from Rebbe. Some of the Farshim suggest that since Rebbe was the author of the Mishnayos, Rebbe didn't put this in, and that a subsequent editor, a subsequent Talmud, added this to Mishnayos. Albeit, when we get to the very last line of the Gemara today, we'll see that maybe that's not the case, and maybe Rebbe put this in, and we'll see when we get to the end of the Gemara some beautiful understandings of one of the great Chachamim who said, no, there still is Anova, I'm still around, and maybe that same answer that will be used to answer that, we could use to answer why Rebbe put this in the Mishnayos over here. But wait till the end of the Shia for this explanation. Now, it looks, according to some Gerusas, that the Mishnah ends over here, and that the Gemara now starts with the words Tanu Rabbanan. However, if you look in the Masoreh Shas Os Hay, he brings down that the Marsha deletes this, that this is a new Gemara, and just continues over here with the words that this is Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, who now is saying the next statement in our Mishnah. So either we're goris the words Tanu Rabbanan, or we're not goris the words Tanu Rabbanan. In any event, we now have a statement from Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was a great, great Tana. He was either the father-in-law, more likely, that's what the Zohar says, or the son-in-law of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Again, we're coming up, when I'm saying this, it's still before Lag BaOmer. You're going to probably be listening to this after Lag BaOmer. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was very much involved in the famous story from Gemara, Lamed Gimel, and Shabbos, where it talks about Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and his son, Rabbi Elazar Shimon, in the cave. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, he tells us the following thing. He was also an unbelievable great Bamoves. Those that are doing the Daf Yomi Yerushalmi, it happens to be that right now, in today's daf, it's talking a tremendous amount of stories about Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. So Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, Omer, he says, Mishuchar Beis HaMikdash Boshu Chaveirim Uvnei Chorim. Nebuch, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Chaveirim, the Tamidei Chachamim, and the Mechorim, and free people, good free people, Nebuch, they all have become ashamed. The Chafu Roshim, they have to cover up their heads, so to say, in embarrassment. Why? So Rashi explains in the Ramas of Chofu Rosham, Shegavra Yad Azeponim, because the arrogant people have Nebuch become the common thing, Mamzerim, and the peaceful Mamzerim, Shem Ashirim, Beilonim, and these Mamzerim, these arrogant people, are very wealthy, and they're now the high class, and Nebuch, all of these great former Miuchasim and Tamidei Chachamim are impoverished. The Gavru Bali Zroa U Bali Loshon. And likewise, the people who are just tough guys and they're slanderers, Bali Loshon, they say Loshon Hara, so they're now the ones in power. And Nebuch, the Miyuchasim, are no longer there. Vein Doresh, Vein Mavakesh, Vein Shol. And Nebuch, nobody's looking to learn Torah, nobody is looking for the answers to the questions, nobody's even asking the questions. And therefore, the Pinchas ben Yair says, what do we do nowadays? Ami lanu lihishayin. Who do we have to look to be supported by? Ela al avinu shebash shomayim. We have to look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to support us. Nebuch, we don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the great Tamidei Chachamim. We don't have the great society that we had before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Things are definitely horrible, and we have to rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. Rabbi Eliezer, HaGadol Omer, Rabbi Eliezer, Hagodol, that's Rabbi Eliezer Hyrcanus, that's Rabbi Eliezer Shamutihu. This is the great Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Hagodol, he said, B'yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Sharu Chakimaya Lemehevei Kisafraya. Everybody went down a level. Everybody went down a notch. So the people that were previously Chachamim, they're now only Safraya. They're like the Rebbe's in school. Rashi says, Melamde Tinokos, Shem Kitanim in HaChachamim. It's one level less than being a Talmud Chacham. So, the Safraya and the teachers in the school, they went down, Kichazonaya. They're now on the level of the Chazan of the Basic Knesset. So, he was the guy that would take care of the shul. He was knowledgeable, but he wasn't the Rav. The Chazanaya and those people, the Gabayim, Kamadiara, they became now like regular plain people. I add that in many shuls in America, when people came over, so there weren't often rabbanim in some of these shuls, and the gabbai, so to say, acted as the rabbi. He was familiar with a lot of the nusach, he was familiar with a lot of the kasets, but he wasn't a rav. So this is the chazanaya, and now, in this time already, he decrees to being just a regular Amma Aretz level person. And even the Amoraz of Yama the Aram, we turn to the very last daf in this wonderful Masechta of Sota, Mem Tesam and Beis. So even the Amoratzim, Azla V'Doldola, even they became less than they were previously. As Rashi says, some have the Girsa, Azla V'Navla, Holchim V'Dalim U'Misnavlim, that they decreased even more in their lack of knowledge and the lack of Shmir Samitzes. Vein Shoel, Vein Mavakesh, the same loss that we had before. Nobody's interested in asking questions, and nobody's interested in the answers. And Amiyesh Lishon, who do we have to rely upon when Nebuchadnezzar in such a low state? Elo Alavinu Shebashamayim. We only rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Mishnah concludes with some additional ideas. It says, Be'ikus Mashiach, during the days, Mi'itz Hashem, the Mashiach should be coming. As Rashi says, B'sof HaGolus L'fnei B'yas Mashiach. In the times when we're expecting Mashiach to come, hopefully at the end of the Golus, hopefully the Nehar Vimeinu in our days, it says chutzpah yazki. There's going to be a tremendous amount of chutzpah in the world. And Mishnah will say a little bit more about this. The yoker yamir, everything's going to become very, very much more expensive during this period of time. Gemara in Sanhedrin has a similar discussion, and it says hayoker ye'oves, that people won't respect each other. But our gear says the yoker yamir. Okay. Then it says, Hagefen titin piria vayayin biyoker. The vines will give off fruit, there will be grapes, but wine will be very, very expensive. Umalchus tehofech leminus v'en tochachas. And the government will, unfortunately, turn into heretics. It's interesting, Shar Mitzvah Malacha also brings down over here that it says that min, the definition of min, is min yeshu hanotzri, the followers of Yeshua Notzri. So the Malchus will turn towards Minos. It will become no longer a Jewish government. The Ein Tochacha, so Rashi tells us, Ein Lecha Adam Sheyucha Lochiach, Shekulam Nechshalim Bechatoz, that they're all going off the Derech. Ukishamichim, Ukishamochichim, and when you give them Musar, Omelo, Ato Kamoni. No, you and me, we're alike. We're no different. So Nebuch, this was causing a terrible period in Klai Yisrael, that so many people went off the Derech, and we see that that's the main religion of the world today. Furthermore, the Mishnah tells us, Beis Vad Yeliz Nus, the places where they used to gather together, as Rashi tells us, Beis Vad, Shochachamim, the Beis Medrash, the Beis Knesset, which is usually out of town, Yule Beis Nus, instead of people flocking there for Shurim, Nebuch didn't flock there for immoral purposes. Shekol HaChachamim, there's nobody in the Beis Medrash. They ain't Lomei Torah, nobody's sitting there to learn Torah. The Echarev, and it's going to be Nebuch destroyed. May Einish, people won't be there. So therefore, they'll become places of immorality, a great place to hang out. Because their shuls were outside of town. So now, those empty shuls will become wonderful places to gather to do all sorts of immorality, to do all sorts of znus. The Mishnah continues and tells us that the Golo will be destroyed. And the place known as Gablon, this was a certain southern city, will be destroyed as well. So from north to south, everything will be destroyed. The Anshegvul, the people living on the borders, Yisov the Be'il Yir, they won't be safe. They'll have to travel from city to city because we'll constantly be under persecution. And they won't be successful. The Chochmos Sofrim Tisarach, and no longer will there be the wisdom of the Sofrim of the Chachamim. It will all decrease and deteriorate. And likewise, the Yirechet Yamatsu, the people who are Yore Shemayim, people that are afraid of sin, so they're going to be hated by everybody else. For MS, the Hey Nederes, and there won't be any more truth. It will be very, very rare. It will be very, very expensive. In other words, people won't be telling the truth. No Arim Pnei Zekenim Yabinu. And the youth, they'll go and embarrass the elders of their generation. And Zekenim Yamdu Pnei Ketanim. And the older people will stand up for the younger people instead of the other way around. That's the Chutzpah Yazgi of our generation. Bein Menavel Ov. A son will Nebuch, make fun of his father. He'll be menavel his father. Bas koma be'ima, a daughter will go and rise up against her mother. Kala, the daughter-in-law, will rise up against Bachamosa. There'll be a lack of respect for the children, for their parents. Ayve ish anshe beso, and in his own house, his enemies will be in his own house. It no longer will be the tremendous shalom bias that we have. There'll be ketata from the younger generation to the older generation. And pinei hadora kipinei hakelev, this will result in that the generations will be like the face of a dog. In other words, it will be a very, very shameless generation. Rashi in Sanhedrin, when we have a similar Gemara, says that two explanations. The dam yamamish lekalapil would look like a dog, actually. And he brings down another lishna achrina, kipnei akelah bein shelo yizbaishu zem yizeh. They won't be embarrassed. Dogs aren't embarrassed. They go and smell each other's behinds. Dogs have no busha. And that will be the generation of our days. Beikus mashicha, pnei adorz, pnei akelah. People won't be embarrassed. Habeinin misbaish miyovit. The son won't be embarrassed by doing things in front of his father. He won't be embarrassed. The son won't be embarrassed for his own father. Therefore, the Mishnah concludes and says, "Al Ma or Al Mi Yeshno Rishayin." Who do we have to go and Nebuch rely upon in this situation? Elo Al Avinu Shebashamayim. We have nobody to help us other than Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Now, again, some have the next piece is Gemara, but others insert over here, and you can see this at the very bottom of the daf, the famous statement of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, another memory in the name of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, and this is the whole basis of the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, the entire Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, the premier, Rav Shechter Shlita, says this is his favorite Sefer. Mesilas Yesharim all talks about this statement that we're now going to read from Rav Pinchas ben Yair. Rav Pinchas ben Yair Omer. Now he starts off, according to some, zihirus maybe led de zrizus, that zihirus, one being especially careful in mitzvos, will lead to a certain alacrity in doing the mitzvos. And again, in Mesilas Yesharim, he literally spends the entire sefer explaining this simple statement, not so simple, of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. And zrizus, your alacrity do mitzvos, maybe le nikias, will bring a person to becoming a more naki, a more cleaner person. Nikias maybe le de tahara. And when you become to this level, and he describes in the sefer Mesilas Yesharim, each level, what it entails, how you get to that level. So when you reach the level of Nikias and you work on it, so that will bring you to the next level of Tahara, Mivil De Tahara. And when you reach the level of Tahara, Mivil De Precious, it will lead you to be separated from this world to a certain extent, separated from certain Gashmias things. Well, Precious, when you reach that level, Mivil De Kedusha, then you'll elevate yourself to the next level called the Kedusha level. Kedusha level, Mivil De Anova, that will lead you to humbleness, to realize that you're nothing in this world. The Anova, Mivil De Yerushait, and that will lead you to the next higher level, which is Yiras Chait, and that will lead you to the next level, Yiras Chait, Mevi'il Adei Chassidus. You become now a Chassid. And that level of Chassidus, if you accomplish that, Mevi'il Adei Ruach HaKodesh, that will lead you to have Ruach HaKodesh. The Ruach HaKodesh, Mevi'il Adei Tchias HaMeisim. That will lead ultimately to HaKodesh Baruch Hu bringing Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim, Bo Aidei Elio Novi, Tzichrono Livracha, Bimher V'Yameinu, Yovo V'Yugolenu, Kein Yihi Ratzon, Amen. So this unbelievable statement from Pinchas ben Yair, which we don't have the time to go through, but the entire Sefer Mesilas Yesharim tells you what you need to do to go from one level to the other, constantly removing yourself from the silliness of this world, from the gashminess of this world, and recognizing what is important in life. So that statement is appended over here, according to the Masoras HaShas. Then we continue where we have the word Gemara in parentheses, and it tells us, I'm a Rav. Now, here we are definitely not talking about Mishnah anymore, because Rav is he's considered a Tanahu Upali, but he's normally not found in the Mishnayis. So Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Lo Shonu Elisho Melach V'Gofres. This is referring back to when we said the Chachamim were Gozer during the first Palmyos Shel Aspasianus, during the first time period when Vespasian, Aspasianus, attacked, sieged Yerushalayim, so they were Gozer, the Chassanim shouldn't wear these crowns, these wreaths. So Rav tells us that was only talking about wreaths that were made out of Melach and Gofres. As Rashi tells us, they would make these out of melach, shehu tzolul, a certain type of very clear salt, that it was like Eben HaBedolach, and the tzolvin also came in siurin begofris, and they would then make certain images in it with gofris, like they would make on gold and on silver. So this was a very fancy, very, very fancy type of a wreath, avol shel hodos or shel varied butter, but that was only the very fancy ones that Rav said they weren't allowed to do. A regular wreath made out of hodos, myrtles, or shel varied, or roses, that was allowed. But then Shmuel said, no, not even that. Shmuel omer, ashel hodos or shel varied also. He said even hodos and varied weren't allowed, albeit he allowed shulchanim v'shul chelas mutter. He allowed them to have various types of reeds. They were still allowed. And then Levi comes along, Levi Amar, even those types of atarus chassanim weren't allowed. Even the reed ones, af shulchanim v'shul chelas, were osur. V'chein toni Levi, b'masnise, and Levi in his Mishnayis. They weren't written down yet at that point in time, but they had their own books sometimes. So in Levi's Mishnayis, he wrote down af shulchanim v'shul chelas, or osur. So each one had a stricter definition. Rav was the most lenient, Shmuel was the next stricter, and Levi was the most strict. Then the Mishnah said we would go there not to play this musical instrument, v'alo irus. So what exactly is that, my irus? What is this instrument? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, he says, Rabbi Elazar tells us this is tavla dechad puma. This is a bell that has one clangor inside of it. Now, Rabba Bar Rav Huna Avad Le Libre Tanbura. At the wedding of Rabba Bar Rav Huna's son, remember he had a son earlier that we had talked about, so at that son's wedding, Mistama, that was his son Abba, maybe a different son, so he made for him to have at the wedding a musical instrument called Tanbura. Tanbura, Rashi tells us, or Tanbur, who also dafnosav agulos, it has its walls that are circular, ke'en napa, like a sieve, the koshrin bedafnosav chutin shel barzel, and they attach to these walls some strings of barzel, v'shotkin al piv or, and they place over the top of it some sort of a leather, kishehu lach, which is moist, u'moseach, and they stretch it out, v'umis yavish, and then it dries, and some me'elov, they put it on the top, ukishamakin a love, when they bang on it, bimakil dak, with some sort of a stick, a light stick, umotzi kol tzulot, makes a very nice clear sound. V'yesh umnim shiodim lahaku tzulot, maka achar maka, kisei, there are those musicians that are able to go and bang on it in a certain way, in a rhythm, achi nishma kimin shir, until it's very melodic. So that's what he did for his son's wedding. However, when the grandfather, Rabba Bar Rav Huna's father saw that they'd made this tanbura, so also Avua, Rabba Bar Rav Huna's father, came in Tavri and smashed it. He broke it. Amalei, michlaf betavla dechad puma. People are going to mistakenly think that this is like the tavla dechad puma, and they're going to say, if you can use this, you can also use the tavla dechad puma that we just said was asur. Zil ovid le apuma dechatzu. He said, if you want to have this type of a sound, so go and take this leather that you put on top of this structure that you had made and put it instead on a chatzba, a certain type of a container, or apuma de kapizo, or on top of another type of a container. Rashi says this is a kli machs gimul lugin, a certain size container, and when you put this leather on top of it and you bang on it, it will also make a sound like a drum. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, bepulma shel titus, or some have the gears of kitus, gazu al ataros kalasuchula. They said that the brides also aren't allowed to wear these wreaths, just like the first gazeri was on the chasanim. My atros kalos, what are these wreaths, these crowns that the kalos would wear? So I'm a rabba bar barchana, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba bar barchana said in Rabbi Yochanan, this was a certain type of tiara known as an ear shel zohav. Tani Nami Hochi, the Rice says a similar idea. Ezel Ataros Kalos, what exactly are these wreaths that the brides would wear? Ear shows off a certain type of tiara. Aval Osa Osa Kipa Shel Melas, but they were allowed to go and wear something else, this Kipa Shel Melas. So actually says, Kimo Kova Shel Tzemer Lovon, it's like a white woolen type of a cap that they allow them to wear. We learn further the following Rice, Tano, Aval Hupas Chasanim Gozu. They likewise said, and you're not allowed to go and wear chupas chasanim. What exactly is this? My chupas chasanim. So you can't have these canopies that the chasun would go out in. So this is zohoris hamuzhavos. So Rashi explains, what is this zohoris hamuzhavos? This is talis, a certain type of garment, a cloak. Tzavua shani was a red-colored garment. Ubo kivuin tasezov, and they had attached to it certain types of gold ornaments. Achimamidon so kimin kippa, and it stood up like some sort of a dome or a canopy. So that wasn't permitted as well. Tainam Yochi, the Brisa says the same thing. Eluhein chupas chasanim. This is what the chupas chasanim was that was prohibited. Zohoris hamuzavos, these types of cloths that had gold attached to them that stood up like a canopy. However, aval ose papyrus, but they were allowed to make papyrus. Rashi has the gear, so aval osehu prepire. Kimin kippa shel ma'agale eitz, some sort of a round wooden structure, kemosh anosim, like we make, betolin bot snifin, or redide zov, kemosh anosim, and they would attach to it certain types of things, like golden chains of some sort, and this would be the canopy that they were allowed to make. They could make this papyrus, or prepir, as Rashi has the girsa, the solar bar, and they could attach to this canopy, komashirtz, as Rashi had said, whatever they would like to hang from it. That was allowed. Then we said in the Mishnah, V'shalo yilamid isbino yivonis, we said in the Mishnah, you shouldn't teach your child yivonis, which sounds like it says you shouldn't teach him the Greek language, but as I pointed out in the Mishnah, and now we'll see in the Gemara, that's not what it means. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabban, we learn the following braiso, Kishe tzaru ma'achei beis ha'chashmo noi zelzeh nebach. One of the tragedies that we have in Klai Yisrael is sometimes we fight amongst ourselves, and there was a tremendous fight after Yanai Malka died, so then there was a terrible fight between his two children, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, as to which one of them would take over the throne. And there are different Gemaras that seem to contradict each other as to which one had the inner track and which one had the outer track. So either in our Gemara, we have that Hurkinus, Haya Hurkinus mi bachutz, he was on the outside. Elsewhere, the Gemara say that Hurkinus was the one on the inside. Aristobulus mi bifnem, and our Gemara has Aristobulus was on the inside. So there was a siege going on. Hurkinus and our Gemara is surrounding Aristobulus, but at this point in time, they all wanted the avodah to continue. So even though there was a siege, so b'chol yom v'yom hayu mishalshlin dinarim bekupa u'malin lem tmidim. So each day, the people on the inside, Aristobulus, according to our Gemara, they would lower a bag that had coins in it in order to pay for the seh, the tamid, the carbon tamid, that the outer people, Hyrcanus's people, would go and raise up. So even though there was a siege going on, they still allowed, both sides allowed, the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, the bringing of the carbon tamid, to occur. So they paid for it from the inside, and they brought them lambs from the outside. However, Hayisham Zakin Echad, unfortunately, there was a person there on the inside that knew this code, this Lashon Yevonis, and Laz Lahem B'chachamas Yevonis, and he was able to signal to them without anybody realizing it at that point in time. And he signaled to them and he said as follows, Omelhem, he told the people on the outside, Kozman Sha'oskim Bavoda, as long as you allow the Avoda to continue, the Torment Torment to be brought every day, so Einim Sarmi Yetchem, you're never going to win. HaKadosh Baruch was happy, the Kabbanos are being brought, so he'll leave the status quo. And you guys on the outside, Hurkinus people, you're not going to win. What should you do? Don't give them the set. So Lamachar, the next day, when the people on the inside, Aristobulus' group, they sent down the money as they did every day. Shilshalu lahem dinarim bekupa. They lowered down via this rope, this chain, the dinarim in their little basket. The helulhem chazir. But the people on the outside, Hyrcanus people, instead of giving them the set, they gave them a pig. And kivon shigil lechatzichah, when the pig reached midway up the wall, it was being raised up in the basket up the wall, not siparnav, it stuck its hooves into the wall, and nizadeh Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael shook. Now the gears that we have is arba meos parsa, it shook 400 parsa, which is a tremendous amount. The gears to the brach, however, is nizadeh Eretz Yisrael, dal meos parsa al dal meos parsa, a square footage area of 400 by 400 parsa, which is a huge amount of area. And Nebuch also saw at that moment in time, Amru, it was said, Orur Odom Shigadol Chazirim, curses somebody who raises pigs. The pigs obviously were the problem over here, and it's also to raise pigs in Eretz Yisrael. And furthermore, Orur Odom, and curses the person, Shilami Livno, that teaches his son this Chochmas Yevonis, this coded language that was used by the royalty, that was used by other people in order to be able to go and give coded messages back and forth. Then the Brisa continues and says, "V'al osa shana shaninu." And at that time, they also taught ma'aso ba'omer migagos tzrifim u'shtei alecha mibikas ein socher, because of the tremendous amount of siege around Yerushalayim, and they were using up the wheat and the barley from the surrounding areas. So normally, the omer that was brought for the korban omer that was brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, and the wheat that was brought on the first day of Shavuos for the shtei alecha, which each of these was a matir, the omer was brought was the matir for all of the new crops to be used outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and the Shtei Alechem matir it to be used inside the Beis HaMikdash. So these two korbanos were normally brought from very close to Yerushalayim, so it should be nice and fresh, it should be nice and good. However, in this year, because of the siege, so they had to bring the Omer from a faraway place called Gagos Tzrifim. Elsewhere, the Gemara describes how they figured out that they were found in Gagos Tzrifim. Interesting discussions. U'Shtei Alechem Yibikas Ein Socher. And likewise, they had to bring the Shtei Alechem wheat from a faraway place, Ein Socher, and there was a person who couldn't talk and speak, and he gave them simanim, and Mordechai, who was in charge, was able to figure out what Gagos Tzrifim was and what the Shtei Alech was, whether this was actually Mordechai Atzadik from the story of Purim, or whether this was just the name now they gave to the person in charge of this. So that's a discussion that the Gemara has elsewhere. The Gemara now continues and questions this idea that it's really also to teach somebody this Chochmas Yevonis, Ini, is it really so? V'amar Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Nasi said, V'Eretz Yisrael, Lashon Sursi Lama. Why do we need this language called Sursi to be taught in Eretz Yisrael? Shouldn't do that. Elo e lashon kodesh. Either learn lashon hakodesh or e lashon yevanis, or learn lashon yevanis. From Rav Yosef, bavava lashon arami lama. And Rav Yosef asked a similar question. Bavava, why are we learning Aramaic? Either elo o lashon hakodesh or lashon parsi. So it seems that Rabbi is telling us that you should learn yevanis even over this other language called Sursi. So Gemara says, Lashon Yevonis L'chud V'chochmas Yevonis L'chud. As I've already alluded to, this wasn't just Greek language that he was speaking. This was a code. This was a certain type of messaging that was known as Chochmas Yevonis. And that is different than learning Lashon Yevonis. Yevonis is considered a beautiful language. You're allowed to write a Sefer Torah technically in Yevonis. The Gemara also discusses that Yavta Elokim L'yefes, the Yishkom, but all Hashem. So therefore, there's certain beauty to the Greek language and certain halachic status that the Greek language has. That's not what it's talking about. Here it's talking about this Chochmas Yevonis. We're again questioning this. Chochmas Yevonis Miasira. Really? Is even this Chochmas Yevonis not allowed? Thamar Yehud, Amr Shmuel, Mishum Rishim Gamaliel, Yehud is the name of Shmuel, who said this over in the name of his Rebbeim, who said this over in the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. My Dixit, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, Ain the Olulo Linafshi Mikol Benos Iri? So this is a pasuk that we have from Eicha. What does it mean when it says that my eye has grown ugly because of me, more so than all the daughters that live in this city, in my city? So Elef Yilodim Habibei Saba. This is a reference to there were 1,000 people that Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel said were in his father's house. The Chamesh Mios Lamdu Torah, 500 of these Tamidim learned Torah, and the Chamesh Mios Lamdu Chachamas Yevonis. The other 500, they taught this Chachamas Yevonis to. The Lonishtaimen, Elani Khan, and Nebuch, they were all wiped out, with the exception, Rashim Gamaliel said, I'm the only one he left from the Bnei Torah, Uben Achi Abba, and my cousin, who is the son of my father's brother, Ba'asya, who lived in Asya, Asia Mestama, so he is the only one left that knows the Chochmas Yevonis. So obviously you see that even under Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, they allowed them to learn, 500 Talmidim learned this Chochmas Yevonis. How can you say that it's awesome? So Gemara says, no, it's different. Shinei Eshel Beis Rabbi Gamaliel. Rabbi Gamaliel was the Nasi, and it was very important that they have relationship with the government, and therefore the Krovim L'Malchus Hebu, and they had to know how to speak with them, and these types of languages, this Chochmas Yevonis, was an essential part of them being able to participate in the government. And we see this is supported by the following brisa, the Tanya. The brisa says, Mesaper Kumi, taking a certain type of haircut, which is normally not allowed, is Harizim Midarki Amorit. This is something that's prohibited. Shehem Menichin Beloris, L'Shem Avodah Zarah. They would leave this ponytail, this mohawk type of a haircut, and this was normally Avodah Zarah. However, Avtolus, others have the gears over here that this is Avtolmus. He was a Jewish person, Ben Reuven. They permitted him, Hitiru Lo, Lisaper Kumi. He was allowed to go and have this hairstyle because Shu Karvel Malchus, he was dealing with them and he had to look like them. And similarly, Shabbos Rabban Gamliel, in the house of Rabban Gamliel, Hitiru Lem Chochmas Yevonis. Again, for the same reason, Mesha Krovim L'Malchus, they allowed them to learn this Chochmas Yevonis because it was necessary. So therefore, under certain circumstances, allowed. But in general, they cursed somebody who taught his son unnecessarily this Chochmas Yevonis. Then the Gemara continues and tells us, "Bepumus Achron Gazu Shalotetze Kalabi Apirium Mechulei." Subsequently, in this last battle period of time, what was known as Titus's destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Bepumus Achron, so Gazu Shalotetze Kalabi Apirium Mechulei. They didn't allow the kala to go out in these various types of canopies. Now, why did ultimately the Chachamim permit this? My time up. Why did the rabbis change around its gezera? Because this, in fact, wasn't a good thing that they didn't allow them to go out in the canopies. Therefore, they were out in the open, and it was a lack of tznius. So therefore, the rabbis came along and said, no, go back to use these canopies, mishum tzniusa, because there should be more tznius over here, and that would be accomplished by having them in these canopies. Then the Mishnah said, Mishameis Rabbi Yochanan Botla HaChochma, so we had a whole bunch of great Tamid HaChamim. This was Yochanan Mezaka. We said, when he died, Chochma, his Ziv HaChochma, went with him, so to say. Tanur Rabbanon, so the Braisa goes and adds on to some of the things that we said in the Mishnah. Mishameis Rabbi Eliezer, Nigna Sefer Torah. When Rabbi Eliezer died, they hid away his Sefer Torah. Rashi explains, Shoya Baal Halachos, Mipi Shmua Harbe. He knew a tremendous amount of Halachos. Usturus Befib, and they were very well arranged. Kilukasa Besefer, as if it was written down in the Sefer Torah. And therefore, the Gemara in Sanhedrin quotes him as saying, Harbi Torah Lamadati Mirubosai. I learned a lot of Torah from my Rabbanim. Velo Oat, and not only that, Elo Shani Shoneh Shloshes Alofim Halochos Minitios Kishuan. I knew 3,000 halachos in regards to the dinim of planting various types of gourds. Vishlosh Meos Baheres Aza. And I knew 300 halachos regarding a certain type of lesion known as a Baheres, a strong Baharis lesion. So in other words, he knew so much, so Debach, when he died, so they buried a Sefer Torah with him. Mishemesa Yeshua, when Nebuch Yeshua ben Chananya, the great Yeshua ben Chananya, died, Botla Eitzo Machshava. So Rashi explains, Shahaya Zoya Bidrashos, he was very, very knowledgeable about Drashos, Ubaki Behalachos, Ubitshuvas Apikorsim, and he was especially knowledgeable of Halachos, and he was also the one who always went up to fight against the Apikorsim, Ulahavin Mirizmeim, and he knew and understood what they were alluding to, as the Gemara Chagiga tells us, Kinoch Navshe, when he died, the people said, Amale Rabbanan, my Tehevi Alon, Miminim. Wow, who's going to defend us against the Minim? They know all sorts of tricks, and Yeshua knew their tricks and was able to combat them. So Amalhem, so the Chachamim responded back, of the Eitzah, we have no Eitzah, we've lost a person like Rishu ben Hananya. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away the wisdom from the Goyim to, so to say, even the playing field. So when Rishu died, we lost this tremendous ability. Botla Eitz HaMachshava. Mishameis Rabbi Akiva de Braisa says, Botla Zroi Torah. The Zroi Torah no longer there. Rashi says, Zroi Torah means Omek Svara, the depth of understanding that Rabbi Akiva had. V'lismoch Tami Torah, Shabal Peh, Amidrashi HaMikros. The Osios, Hayeserim, Ulushonos, Hamishtanim, Bemikra. He was able to understand and reconcile things in the Chumash with all of the things in the Torah Shabbat Peh. And Istatnu, furthermore, it was closed off by Anos HaChochma. The wellsprings of Torah were unfortunately shut off at the death of Rabbi Akiva. Furthermore, the writer says, Mishmeis, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the great Kohen, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, became the Nasi after the Rabbi Gamliel was deposed. So, Batlu Ataros Chochma. When he died, the crown of Chochma left. Rashi tells us that he was an Asher Muflag, and the maestros that he took off from his animals was 12,000 agolim. That means that he had 120,000 born every year, and he had a huge flock, and because he was so financially successful, he was able to learn Torah and cause a lot of Torah to be learned, and therefore, Nebuchadnezzar's batlu ataros chachma. Shateres chachamim ashram, because a wise person knows how to use his money properly, he can support many yeshivas, can support lots of learning. The writer continues and tells us, Mishamesu Bichanina Bedosa, the great Baal Mofes, but Luan Shemai says, we've already explained, he was able to do things that were totally lamalim and ateba. Just one more story about him. So one time there was a creature known as an Arvad that was killing people. So they showed where Bichanina Bedosa where it was, and he put on the foot on the area, and the Arvad bit him. Normally everybody dies, but here, from being bitten by the Arvad, here the Arvad died. And Erechanina Bedosa took the Arvad to the base medrash and he showed everybody, see, it's not the Arvad that kills, it's the sins that kill people. Again, he was an unbelievable Baal Mofes. Then it says, Mishimeis Abayosi ben Kotonto Batlu Chasidim. We had said, and he was a great righteous person. He was from the least of these great Hasidim. Others say he was one of the greatest ones, and he was known as the smallest because that's how pious he was. In any event, when he died, this level of Hasidus left the world. And we had explained Benazai was so immersed in learning Torah, he couldn't even be married to Rabbi Akiva's daughter. So he was the most Hasmada Tana, and when he died, that aspect left. Mishmeis ben Zoma, batu adarshanim, he was expert in darshaning, as we said in the Seder, kishadarsh achadarsha ben Zoma. And Mishmeis ben Shimon Gamliel, ola guvai virabu tzoros. When Rabbi Shimon Gamliel died, so then there was tremendous poverty. He was the preventer, so to say, of these locusts, these grasshoppers from coming, and all these tzoros, he was a protector of Klal Yisrael, and when he died, that protection was taken away. Yin Yaakov brings down that there were many takanos that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel made against Gezel. And when he died, unfortunately, the people stopped following those, and therefore the Gugai came because of the Gezel that occurred. And finally, Mishmeis Rebbe, when the great Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, the redactor of the Mishnayos, died, Huchbalu Tzoros Nebuch, things even got worse. Then the Mishnah is quoted, Mishmeis Rebbe Botla Anova V'Yiraschait. It says that when Rebbe died, so there no longer was Anova and Yiraschait. Now, we had pointed out that there are those that suggest that Rebbe didn't write this. How could he write of himself that he was an onav? That therefore, when he died, there no longer was humbleness in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. But now we have an unbelievable Gemara that we have to explain, and this will conclude today's shir. It's a long shir, but it's a beautiful idea. This Masechta is so beautiful. So, Amalei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says to the Tana who taught this last piece that when Rebbe died, Anova died. He said, Lo tisne Anova. Don't read that Anova died because the Ika Anova. Because I'm still here. And similarly, Amalei Rav Nachman, the Tana, Rav Nachman, he told the Tana, Lo tisne yirashchait, don't say that there's nobody here that has yirashchaim, yirashchait, because the Ika Ano, because I'm still here. Now this is obviously something that needs to be darshan. We've run out of time almost, I'll go very quickly. So the Vilna Gaon in the Shnos Elio brings down that each of them was saying, not Ano, I, there was a Talmud Chacham whose name was Ano, and that's who both Rav Yosef and Rav Nachman were referring to, not themselves, like the simple understanding. So that's a beautiful terrace, but I think most of us want to understand how somebody could say, no, there's still humbleness left, I'm still around. So the Shar Mitzion Balacha says that Rav Yosef was stating that his generation, not him, there still were people that were anovim. That because they selected him to be the head of the yeshiva, and they obviously made themselves subordinate to him, he felt that there were others that were greater than him, so therefore there's still anovim in his generation. Alternatively, he quotes the Minchas Yehuda. He says that Anova is a patient person, like we learned earlier in the Masechta. He's not makbid. So therefore, he was saying that I'm not makbid. Other people can be given more honor than me, and I'm not makbid. And that's what he was saying. I once heard from one of my rabbanim, Reb Noble Shlita, and he said that there's a madrega in recognizing that a person is a truly a gurnish, that he was nothing. And therefore, these people had reached such a high level of anava that they could actually talk about themselves as if there was a third person. Yeah, that guy is an honor, because they weren't talking about themselves. They were talking about a concept, so to say, of which they had accomplished. The Ben Yehuda brings down that if he learned that anava was misbatel, people would say, well, what about this person? What about Rav Yosef? After all, he could have been the Rosh Yeshiva, and he didn't take the title. So people will say, oh, if the Chacham is saying there's no Anava, so then they'll say that everything else the Chacham is saying isn't right, and therefore people wouldn't listen to the Chacham, because they all recognize that Rav Yosef was an Anav, and therefore if this wasn't correct, then all the other things the Chacham say wouldn't be correct as well. Alternatively, the Ben Yehuda says that if you tell me that there is no Anivus anymore, so then I'm going to say, hey, I'm an Anav. I gave up being the head of the yeshiva to Rabba for 22 years, and therefore there is Anivus around, and that would in turn make him into a Baal Gaiva. So he said, no, say that there's still Anav around, this way I won't become a Baal Gaiva, and say, yeah, I'm the Anav. No, there are other people that are more Anav than I am. Alternatively, the Ben Yehuda says that everybody was actually praising for being an Anav. So he said, Lou, I'll say I'm an Anav, and this way they'll say, hey, maybe he's not such an Anav, and they'll stop praising me and calling me an Anav. Finally, the Eitz Yosef says that Dibru b'derech ha'emes, these Amoraim said the truth. Motzu kol echa b'nafsho sheyesh bo hamida hazos. They were telling the truth. This midah was still present in them. Not that they were bragging about it. They're saying, I have this midah. They were telling the truth. With this, we conclude this unbelievable Masechta. Hadron lecha egla rufa, hadron lecha egla rufa, hadron egla rufa, uslikla Masechta sota, uslikla Masechta sota, uslikla Masechta sota. I'm sorry, we went a little bit over an hour even today. Baruch Hashem, what a beautiful Masechta. Ayin shon for more. Mitzvah Hashem, we look forward to starting Gittin tomorrow.